Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. We've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and most of our business comes from referrals. Why? Because we make it so easy. Tight timeline? No problem. Groomsmen scattered all over? We got you. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Come see me at Nick's Menswear, and let's make this the easiest win for your wedding planning. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Well, if how your stomach feels is any indication, I'm at risk of no spritzer today, but we will make it. Happy holidays once again. Thanks for being with us, with me, Mike Shope, here today, Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I regret not being fit to join you yesterday. Wish I could have, but thanks to Zach and Derek for taking over. I was excited to tell you about my Christmas, two, at least. Let's not diminish the value and the meaning of the other gifts. Two exciting presents. Okay, one of them I bought for myself, which was pens. Because every day I come here, well, yesterday, most days I come here and I need a pen. And I used to be, like, insane about always having a pen in my pocket, but then too often, once I got sort of grown up, like in the last 5 years, I do my own laundry, and too often there's a pen in a pocket that just not only ruins the pen, but it ruins the pants. So that's not great. But house is always out of pens. Never need one. Always need one. Never have one. Here, all right. You know, it was mature and excellent of me to have the thought in the grocery store a week or so ago, buy pens. So, okay, one. Two, I want to tell you about this. Eventually, I want to tweet about it because, as I've mentioned before, my relatively new love is cooking. And my sister bought me a salt plate, which I have no experience with or even any sort of peripheral experience with. Like, even my restaurant friends, I don't know, like, I texted my one chef friend, one of them yesterday, like, I got a salt plate, nothing. Like, I don't know if he thought it was a joke, if it was meant for someone else, what, but like, very exciting description. Himalayan salt plate, 250 million years of salt. And now we're cutting out plates to cook with. And you can cook on them or serve on them, whatever. So I've been, not that you ask, but I've been very lazy with my mornings, especially when the kids are home. And, you know, if the dog is going to stay asleep, so am I. But last night, watching the football game, which helped put me to sleep, I, you know what? What I'm going to do tomorrow, you have to, it's called tempering. You have to temper this salt slab, which means you put it in the oven at the lowest temperature for half an hour, and then every half an hour you up it by 50 degrees until you get it over 500. Then it's ready. And so that's what I did. It was like, I was like Desmond in the hatch on Lost. Has the show ever sounded older than a Lost reference? I'm Desmond. Every 108 seconds, I got to, you know, set the alarm and run over to the oven. Not run, but just, you know, bump it up 50 degrees. That's what I've been doing, you know, in part today. So I'm very excited about a salt plate. That's what happens when you get to be my age. You get excited about things like a salt plate. And I've got a book. And, you know, the of course, the instruction manual, and I'm just devouring all of it. So that was one of the highlights of my Christmas. Kansas City was on, you know, sort of muting the enthusiasm of the gift exchange of the early afternoon on Wednesday. And this is what I figured we would talk about yesterday, you know, all day, is the Chiefs and what that means for the Bills here this week and next. Today, I've got Sam Panayotovic coming up at 3:30. We'll talk MVP. We'll talk the college playoffs and also, you know, the AFC playoff thing. Connor Rogers is booked for today from NBC with a few minutes on the Jets, but I don't even think the Jets care about the Jets at this point. But we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in this game on Sunday, which is important, right? You don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose it and then have to push next week, because I think I would push next week if I lost this game. I think the two is worth that much. I think it's worth that much, especially because it's now the Ravens at the three. With guests today, I want to fit you in if you've got a take on any of this. 803-0550 is the number. There's a lot to talk about. How the Bills play it is what we've really been talking about or around for at least a month, expecting to get to a point here if the Chiefs don't falter. Maybe they do, but they didn't. If the Chiefs don't falter, all right, so what do we do here? I think it's pretty straightforward now. I think, you know, you're going to want to be your best this week and take care of this game. The Bills are up to a 10-point favorite. It started, first time I saw it anyway, 9.5, went to 8.5, and now to 10. So you've got to win as a 10-point favorite. If they do, then next week is a walkthrough. I think it's pretty much that simple. There's nothing else left to figure out if the Bills win Sunday. Two seed, that's it. One is out. No risk of the three, that's it. So, unfortunately for me, as someone who has been making plans to go to Foxborough next week, I could get the Mitch Trubisky show here, but it's about this game. And I wouldn't compromise that at all here myself, but you might disagree. I mean, that's what we talked about at the start of the week, Eric Wood saying, like, well, if you have, which was possible, based on, depending on what happened on Christmas, you might have two games that you don't need. What do you do to go about resting players? Like, what's important? And the Bills don't have that issue. Like, they have to win one more, or else they run the risk of having to go to Baltimore in the second round. And I don't think they should want any part of that. I mean, it's a little bit, the Bills and the Ravens, it's always the Bills and the Chiefs, you know? Three playoff meetings, they're the team that has been the problem. The Bengals a little bit, but the Chiefs. Last year, the Ravens were too good, And then the Bills, you know, eventually got there and they got all the way to the two, but would lose to Kansas City. I don't remember spending much time last year on the conversation, the comparison between the Bills and the Ravens, because they didn't play and the Bills had their own struggle. I mean, they were losing to New England and Denver last year and almost the Giants and almost the Bucks. And how did any of that happen? But that was last year, so it was a grind, and the Ravens kind of ran away with the AFC. Didn't end up happening that there was ever much to talk about in that context, the Bills and the Ravens. It was always the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the one, and they're the one seed. But in the last 4 or 5 years, they are the kingpin. They have beaten the Bills in the playoffs 3 times in 4 years, despite having lost to the Bills in the regular season 4 years in a row, which makes it more annoying. So Kansas City is the team. But with what happened on Christmas and what else has happened, you know, this year, and this is not surprising to me that the Ravens would have run down Pittsburgh, that's the team the Bills may have to deal with first. And it's fairly likely that to get to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to beat them both, Baltimore and Kansas City, this year. But we'll get there if or when we do. I just think, like, you know, I have a admitted kind of a Ravens bias, just having a lot of respect that I've, you know, for different reasons over the years for what they've built. And I have a lot of respect for the Bills, too, in this way. But Baltimore is kind of like, they're the analytics darling. You know, there's Jackson and his path where, like, oh, he should play a different position and all that garbage. And so, I don't know, like, I've been drawn to them. And I'm super excited to see, like, the Bills and the Ravens clash. Because they did meet the one time the COVID year. The weather was stupid. And both teams were just sort of off. And the Bills won that game, which was a great job. It's always Kansas City, but the Bills and the Ravens, like, that is the one. If I'm doing this job in, like, Minnesota or some NFC place, and, you know, just looking at the big picture of the playoffs, man, I want that game. I want a Buffalo-Baltimore game. They're the team, and I want to get to Kansas City here, 803-0550 to join me. They're the team that has shown, I think, the greatest upside, the highest ceiling this year is Baltimore. Like, this game against Houston was a joke from the beginning. And the Chiefs don't have those games this year. The Bills have a couple, but they're like against Jacksonville. You know, like, that Houston isn't really good. I mean, we've talked about that a lot on this show too, the power rankings and everything. But that was total domination. And everybody wants to know, to find out if Baltimore can do that in the playoffs where, you know, they'll play better teams than Houston. And they haven't yet. So that's out there too.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I think a couple of things about Kansas City that are worrisome, in addition to their, you know, history, their performance over the years. Everybody knows, I mean, to say the very, very least, they can do it in the playoffs. And that's a question the Ravens have. That's a question the Bills have. Philadelphia, other teams, like, everybody else has that question. Kansas City has won 3 out of 4. The one they lost was to Brady, who's in the booth. So everybody else has yet to demonstrate that they can go through Kansas City and win a championship. Cincinnati at least did beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, which is better than everybody else has done here that's still active. I think a couple of things about them, though, in this moment would scare me. Because what they've looked like all season has not been scary at all. They've looked average, But they had those few wins. It's like a 5 or 6 of them where they got away with it. Now they look more like, they look less like a team that's getting away with it. These last two games, the Texans and then the Steelers, again, I want to say, like, not great teams, but playoff teams, they have looked really smooth. They're still, what I thought about Kansas City-Pittsburgh was they're still not that big play capability from the Chiefs. You're still not seeing, like, the Worthy stuff. Worthy's getting numbers now, but it's still not really, like, on time. Kelce has almost no, he had a game, but he has almost really no down the field seam stretching kind of dimension anymore. Everything's short with him. Hopkins, everything's short with Hopkins. Hollywood Brown's working in. It's Kareem Hunt. I mean, they're getting it done through efficiency. And that's been somewhat the Bills this year with James Cook and with Shakir. And then different other guys at different times where it's third down and Allen beats you. And just splicing together key plays, key moments, and driving the field and scoring. Not big plays to Diggs or Davis. Not big plays to Tyreek Hill. That's not really been the method for these teams. The Ravens are the one that have the most of that. So far this year, there's the big Jackson runs, the big Henry runs. If it's Flowers, maybe. Like, it's not as, the passing game is more like the other teams, where it's just sort of there to get you to the next first down, advance the ball, longer drives. But the big play element in the AFC is Baltimore on the ground, whereas Kansas City and Buffalo have just not been lethal like that. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. You know, we're going to get some number of matchups between these teams. I think the thing about the Chiefs now, as I finally get to it, the two things are they look better than they've looked almost all season. I think Marquise Brown has something to do with that, opening up other guys. And they also, this is the scary thing, I think, for anybody, is that bye week and then this week that they don't need at all. It's basically 2 weeks in the lab. That, I think, is the scary part for the Chiefs. I mean, the Bills are going to have to play this game at least. The Ravens already played this week. They needed it. They're going to need next week, unless the schedule does them a favor and puts Pittsburgh on first. And I'll talk to Sal about what might happen with the Week 18 schedule later. But, you know, probably they'll go into that game against the Browns, not much different than what the Bills face here, wanting to win. So they won't have the, and they'll also play Week 1 in the playoffs like the Bills will. Those teams will not have the luxury the Chiefs do to go into the lab. And what team is sort of scarier in a lab, if you will, than Kansas City? Like, they've won so much already, and hey, I think, you know, they have, everybody thinks they've just not been impressive other than constantly winning. I know that sounds hilarious, right? That is impressive, I agree. But drive to drive, game to game, they have looked really, like, it's been painful, their offense. But they've figured out, they luck, experience, everything put together, they got to 15-1. They needed all of it. I mean, the Bills have been so good that the Chiefs needed all of 15-1 to get to this advantage. But they have it. And there's no team, I think everybody would say this, there's no team that you would be more afraid of having that advantage to figure out new wrinkles and the rest. I mean, that's what Kansas City has won by this bye week. And that's 2 weeks, you know, like, would Patrick Mahomes with his ankle sprain, Travis Kelce with his age, Hopkins, would anybody play in this game? Is there any reason for it against Denver? next week. There's no reason for it. That's what they earned. So they get that. They get two and a half. I mean, they played on Wednesday. It's 2.5 weeks for Andy Reid under the hood. And if you, I remember Ross Tucker saying this a week or two ago on our show about the Chiefs. He's like, you know, we've talked about kind of sort of teeing Ross up from a Bills standpoint, how they don't look that good. And I had the one question for him, is the one seed an equalizer because the Bills have looked like the better team? He's like, no, the playoffs are the equalizer because of the success they've had and just their experience, their opportunity here to add to what they've already shown, what they can do is the scary thing. His point was, I just remembered, like bringing Ross up, his point about that was kind of, well, they're probably already going to be in a close game. You know, Bulldog has been saying for a while, I don't know if he would still say this after their last two games, because I haven't seen him since, but how the Chiefs look like a team dying to get beat in the first round. And then now they don't have to play in the first round. And Ross has kind of said, what's the worst that it could actually be? A close game. Whoever they're playing, you know, that's probably going to be close at worst. They've had that. I mean, that was Jacksonville in the playoffs. That was Cleveland with Mayfield in the playoffs. The Chiefs have had, and the Bills, they've had close games, but that's kind of like the low point for them. And now you get the rest plus the extra time to whip up ways to play off of what your tendencies have been. That's what I think is the problem right now when it comes to Kansas City. The rest part, but also what they might be able to pivot to here with so much time. I mean, it's 2.5 weeks between games for the Chiefs. For the Bills, it'll be, if they win Sunday, you know, they'll get the luxury of not needing to push against the Patriots, and they'll have that week in the lab, right? They won't know who they're going to play yet. Neither will Kansas City, but that's an extra week of that. I don't know. I think it's kind of obvious, but that is really what I want to say again, all year, okay, they're not really going to win three in a row. You can't win three in a row looking like this. Let's just sort of, don't worry. Don't be afraid. This team is dying to get beat. And now, I wouldn't want to say that. I think they have a really big edge here that has got to sting the Bills not getting it because of the season they've had, plus beating Kansas City. Could one other team ever please have beaten them? Would that have been okay if just one other team? Could Isaiah likely have gotten a toe in bounds, the Bengals in week two, the Broncos field goal, the Raiders with the quarterback not knowing the ball was coming, Carolina got close? Could that have just happened once? The Chargers at the end? I mean, I just 5-6 games top of my head. It couldn't have been one more. Even if it had been one more, and you go to next week, and they go to Denver, where Denver might need it, and the Bills go to Foxborough, come on. It just was one. And this is Bulldog again about the Rams loss. Because the Rams loss for him and the Chiefs might have beaten Denver around the same time it would have been, but just like that was a critical juncture in the season for him. And I kind of always felt like eventually Kansas City would lose one. I like Pittsburgh a lot on Christmas. At home, Mahomes still having maybe some effects from an injury, and the Chiefs still having the next week if they needed it to get that win. And it just was not a competitive game. And it wasn't a fluke. Like, it wasn't a pick six. It wasn't, you know, a broken coverage where they pulled away and won. It was just like a team against a much better team, the Chiefs and the Steelers. Well, not all is lost, of course. Bills and Jets on Sunday. Sam Panayotovich joining me next to discuss that. The MVP stuff, Jackson has gotten close in the betting odds for whatever that's worth. The college playoffs, I know Sam has his mind on that too, and other things. Connor Rogers today, a little bit on the Jets, and then some Week 17 stuff. Fantasy 2 with Connor, I know he's into that. Sal Capaccio at 5, the Duntire Drive at 5. We will talk Bills Jets and also the playoff picture and what might happen to the schedule next week. If you were with me when Sal was on Tuesday or any other time, the schedule stuff is always very interesting to both of us. I'll see if we can't get Bulldog out of bed for some picks later. And then at 6 o'clock, Paul Hamilton for the pregame show. The Sabres host Chicago tonight. Should be festive downtown. The holiday Friday nights are my favorite. You know, and they're not on a 13-game losing streak anymore, so that's good. Thanks for being along. I'm Mike Shope. It is Football Friday. Sammy P coming up. Time for a break. I'll be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.